Beast's biological father, Wolf 10, who was an impressively large and strong wolf. Loved to engage in games with his pups and would let little pups beat him in wrestling matches. Rick got the sense that 21 liked to pretend he was a low-ranking wolf when he was with younger pack members, a type of role reversal. 21's concept of being an alpha male was the exact opposite of what we think of in humans as an aggressive, dominating alpha male personality. Rick also studied the many types of games pups played among themselves and saw how those games, such as chasing and wrestling, prepared them for their adult responsibilities of hunting and protecting their families from other wolves. All of Rick's observations sound just like what dogs do when they're allowed to run freely and play with one another or alone. Years ago, my students and I observed similarities between the play of wild coyotes and that of domestic dogs. Rick's reports extend these similarities to wolves as well. Rick's descriptions of the wolves of Yellowstone remind me of Dr. Jane Goodall's early groundbreaking research on wild chimpanzees, in which she named each individual and wrote about their unique personalities, a practice for which she was initially criticized by her professors, many of whom had never seen a wild animal of any type. Of course, her critics were totally incorrect, as has been shown by subsequent research on chimpanzees and a wide variety of other animals. As Rick once heard someone say, "It is hard to hate someone if you know their story." I think that after you have read the tales of drama, courage, and devotion in this book, you will agree. Mark Beckoff, Boulder, Colorado. Prologue. 21 was missing. He normally was with his family every day, so his disappearance was troubling. 21 was an old wolf. He had lived 9 years, about twice as long as an average wolf in Yellowstone. A month went by without any sightings of him. Then an outfitter found a dead wolf and a radio collar in the mountains above Lamar Valley. The man turned the collar into a ranger who passed it on to me. The collar was 21's. A group of Wolf Project staff rode the steep trail up Specimen Ridge. We found 21 curled up on a low hill in a high-elevation meadow. The site where he lay overlooked Lamar Valley, where he had been the alpha male of the Druid Peak Pack for over 6.5 years. For a long time, I tried to figure out why 21 had left his pack and used the last of his prodigious strength to travel to that meadow. He must have had a reason to go up there alone. Years later, inspiration came to me, a motive for his behavior. I first explained what I had come up with to a friend, and when I finished, she began to sob. I asked what was wrong, and after taking a few moments to compose herself, she said, "Why can't I find a man like 21?" Let me tell you why she said that. Previously, in Lamar Valley. In the first book of this series, The Rise of Wolf 8, Witnessing the Triumph of Yellowstone's Underdog, I told the stories of the wolves brought down from Canada as part of Yellowstone National Park's 1995 Wolf Reintroduction Program. Among the early arrivals, the Crystal Creek Pack had 2 adults and 4 male pups. The smallest pup was Wolf 8, who was bullied by his brothers while the family was being held in their acclimation pen. After the pack was released into the wild, 8 unexpectedly proved himself when he stood up to an angry grizzly and helped save his siblings. Another family, the Rose Creek Pack, denned shortly after they were released from the pen where they had been held when they first arrived in the park. The alpha female, Wolf 9, gave birth to 8 pups. Their father was illegally shot and killed, making 9 a single mother with little chance of keeping her pups alive. A team of wolf biologists captured her and the pups and put them back in an acclimation pen, intending to release them in 6 months.